by saying that a few days ago I learned about a blog post by Eva, and it was a great blog post titled, I think, How to Get Scientists to Use Web 2.0 Technologies. And realizing that I'm the last thing that stands between you and dinner, if you've all read the blog post, I could just say, you know, what she's described in there, which is how she envisions a science to O'Toole should work. If you've all read that, I could say, you know, we're trying to do exactly the thing that she described, and that's it, we're done, and we can have dinner now. But I'm assuming that not everyone has read it, so I'm just going to go ahead and give you a short presentation and a demo of what Mendeley does, of which I'm the co-founder. And so, yeah, Mendeley wants to have researchers manage, share, and discover academic knowledge, and you shall find out how we try to achieve it. First of all, though, a few words about us. We're currently 12 researchers, graduates, and open source developers from a number of institutions. We're based in London, and we're backed by the co-founders of Last.fm and Skype, so that's the background. And before I actually go into detail of what we're doing, I'm going to do this backwards and basically give you the grand idea. And for this, I'd like to start talking about Last.fm first. And so who of you here knows Last.fm or is a Last.fm user? Okay, that's good. For those of you who don't know Last.fm, it's, I think, the world's largest social music network. And the question that I'm trying to answer here is whether the concepts and ideas behind Last.fm couldn't equally be applied to research. So this is how Last.fm works. You install their software on your computer. It's called the Audio Scrobbler. And then all you have to do is you listen to music, and the Audio Scrobbler will then send the metadata of the music you listen to the Last.fm website and automatically build your music profile. And in doing so, they've managed to create the world's largest open music database containing, I think, about 80 million songs. And now, based on your own music library, Last.fm on the website then lets you discover first statistics about your own music library, like which songs have you listened to the most in the past year, in the past week, what are the artists of which you have the most songs in your hard drive, etc. You can get, for each of your favorite artists, the listening stats of all the other people on the network, like how many people have listened to your favorite band in the past week, what are the top tracks of your favorite artists, and what are similar artists to the bands that you like. And also, for each of the 80 million songs in the database, you can get a discussion and recommendations for similar tracks. And it's really quite astonishing. Like, if you go to Last.fm, it's a huge database of music. You can get semantic tags and similar songs that are all linked together. And also, for each genre of music on Last.fm, you can get the trends and charts for each of these genres. Say you're a jazz fan and you want to find out, are there any hot new jazz artists that have gained, you know, a massive increase in audience in the past week or in the past month, for example, then you can check the start, the set, last time, see which artists are up. And looking at these concepts here, music library, artists, songs, and genre, I think you could, you know, transpose that to research in a sense. So our vision in the longer term is to become sort of a Last.fm for research, and in which we treat music library, you know, instead of music library, you all have your research libraries. I mean, you all probably have huge collections of PDF papers sitting on your hard drive. And instead of artists writing songs, you have researchers writing papers. And instead of genres of music, you have disciplines in academia. And so the question, I guess, now is, how does Mendeley handle these concepts? And I think this is the point where I'm going to give you a little demonstration. Mendeley essentially consists of two different tools, I would say. And one is Mendeley Desktop, which is a free software that's cross-platform, so you can download it for Linux, Mac, and Windows. And then we have a website, Mendeley Web, and these tie two into each other. And I'm going to show you how that works now. So since the screen resolution is so small, I hope you can still see a bit of what's going on here. This is the interface of MemRelay Desktop, the desktop software. And basically, say you just want to get started by getting all your documents, your PDFs, into the library. And what we've done is, we were tired of entering all the data manually or going to database and trying to find out if we can find the RES file or BibTeX file, whatever, download that, import it to the library. Instead, the idea is that you should just drop some of these papers into your library and try to extract the metadata automatically from the full text. So it extracts the full text from the document and then tries to guess what the correct metadata is. And I guess my internet connection stopped again, which is too bad, because otherwise I could tell you that if MemRelay Desktop finds the DOI somewhere in the text, it'll also contact the Crossref server and retrieve the metadata from there to help you. And I really should get this to work, because otherwise I can't show you the website. I'm going to try to disconnect and reconnect again.
But I'll turn off our computer.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't, maybe I didn't notice it because what if I does it grab things like authors, institution affiliation? You had authors and titles and volumes. So is that an easy thing to add, or is it already done if you didn't see it? Or because I'm interested, because as you may know, one of the frustrations for a lot of these big databases is it gives the institution but only for the first author or corresponding author. You might have five authors in a paper, only one institutional, even though they come from all over. Is that something easy to build in?
I guess you could, but at the moment it's not built into this. So what it does is it just extracts the metadata that is relevant for if you want to add a citation to a paper, like the author, title, volume, issue, journal, pages, etc. So trying to go online again.
What about making comments on the papers that you have in your database? And can you make those shared comments that others can see?
Okay, well, I stopped trying this now and instead go on and just show you exactly your question. So the first thing, once you have the data in there, and I'm going to add that, the metadata extraction obviously is a tricky business and there will be errors. But one of the neat things is if you correct these errors manually, then when you upload the PDF to your account on the website, then we'll send the fingerprint of the document alongside it. So the next time someone runs the recognition, they'll retrieve your corrected metadata. So, in theory, every error should only occur once. So once you have the data in there, you can, do all sorts of things like search the PDF and immediately see where in the text a word is found. We automatically generate some filter lists, like say you want to look for the papers of a specific author, which you have in here, or some tags or author-supplied keywords, which were somewhere in the paper. We'll try to extract these as well, or publication journals. And then you can also, add your own tags and notes to the documents. And Garrett asked whether that can be shared. So if I had internet access now, this is the website, and this is more resolution. I'm going to have to scroll around a bit, but it's in the back end. There's a social network. I mean, we don't primarily see ourselves as a social network. Rather, it's if you connect to people here, you can use the software to share papers and comments. And the way this works is once you're connected to people on the website. then and you're logged in, then you can create a shared group here. I can't log in now, unfortunately. But like this is sort of like a playlist in iTunes on the left side. You just create a shared group and drag papers into there. And you select the people from your network which you want to give access to a shared group to. And it's really like, it's two clicks. I can't show it now. Mm-hmm. But it's two clicks. And whenever you add tags and notes to the website, to the document, then everyone else will see the same. Tags and notes, and you know, it's all collaborated. Strange because it says that I'm connected to. I'm going to start the browser again, perhaps. This is really a shame. I was connected 10 minutes ago.
Someone else's computer that's connected?
The person would have to install the software first. And then, yeah. Well, so basically, if you have an internet connection and you have people on Mendeley Web to which you're connected, then you can, you know, add a shared group here by clicking this button. Then you just drag and drop papers in there. You add tags and notes, and everyone will be able to see the tags and notes and download the documents as well. And also, I've shown you my profile page. Oh, too bad. Now I closed my browser. I can't show you the profile page. But on the profile page, you can add your own publications simply by dragging and dropping them to a Mendeley web account. And that's basically the same way how you can also back up your entire library to your private web account so you can access it through an online browser. It's all just drag and drop.
So it's backing up all of the documents to the web?
You can do that, yeah, just by dragging and dropping them there.
Maybe PDFs plus Word
documents? Currently, this program only handles PDF documents.
PDF.
Yeah, but in the future, it'll also handle Word.
Does this deal with archive, preprints off the archive, or only?
Well, it's the only requirement really is that's in PDF format, and then it tries to extract the metadata and enables you to do all these things.
But for example, if it's an archive preprint, will it pull the, you know, the citation?
Oh, yeah, that's one of the things that we'll be working on in the future, which is external database integration. We used to have that in an earlier version where you could, you know, just type a query in and retrieve the metadata directly from Google Scholar. But we've taken it out for now. But in the future, we'll definitely integrate with open access databases, with PubMed, Archive, probably also commercial databases as well.
Question?
Yeah.
So what is the business model for this?
Maybe I'll talk about that later. Like I'll go on with the demonstration first of what's left to demonstrate. Mm-hmm. And then I'll tell you about the business model. So, I mean, the basic idea really is that you have two tools that leverage the strength of each platform. You have like a document management system on your desktop, which, you know, helps you manage all the PDFs, and you can back it up to your personal account on the website. You can create your online profile just by dragging and dropping your publications on there. And you can share your PDFs and tags and annotations with people to which you're connected on the website. And since we were talking about like what's going to happen next, this is already there. We have the desktop software and Mendeley Web, and you know they're synchronized. And the next step, I think, really is tying it into the research workflow. For example, most of the people are researching through the web browser, finding papers on websites, in databases, etc. So we'll be introducing a browser bookmarklet, which you know helps you to import the metadata and papers into your online library with one click. And you know, of course, that is synchronized with your desktop software, so you can take it with you everywhere. And also, we'll integrate it with LaTeX and Word, so you can have the citations when you actually write your papers. OpenOffice is still the question. We'd like to do a plugin for that, but it depends basically, you know, on we have limited resources and how many people demand this. You had a question.
You found it plays nice with proxy server access to, you know, institutional databases.
We haven't tried that yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there an ability for an individual who's not a member of a group that you created to request membership?
I mean, for these shared document groups.
Yeah.
Currently, there isn't. So currently, the idea is, you know, and that's one of the major differences to Last.fm. On Last.fm, basically, everyone can see what music you've been listening to, whereas, you know, here, some people will probably, you know, think that's a bit more sensitive. So on the Mendeley website, no one will see which papers you have in your library. In the future, we'll enable you to, you know, put a badge on your profile. So you can, if you want to, show other people you've been reading. And no one will be able to see which documents are in these shared groups that people are working on and people are exchanging. But I've been asked by another user whether in the future there might be a way for someone else to ask for access to my library, or in the same vein, ask for access to a shared document group. But currently it's basically by invitation. So if I create a group, then I can invite people to the group and share documents with them.
Yeah. You could have private and public.
Yeah. Before I get to your question, so I've shown you there is a social networking aspect in there, but using the Last.fm analogy again, Last.fm also has user profiles and people can connect to each other. But they wouldn't probably define themselves as a social network. It's more that on Last.fm you get tags for music, and thereby you establish connections between songs and musical genres, and you know connections around music. And then people form around these connections. And so our goal here is basically to do the same for research. So people who have similar research interests can form around papers which they find interesting or topics which they find interesting.
They have to be identifiable or discoverable.
Yeah. What we're going to do is, same as Last.fm has a separate web page for every song in their database, we'll have a separate web page for every paper in our database. So people will be able to see statistics about this particular paper, like how often has it been read, cited, are there any comments, are there similar papers?
Also, kind of what Gary's trying to say, Last.fm has friends and neighbors, where friends are the people you add to your own social group, and neighbors are people you might not know who listen to the same music as you. So I know that I listen to the exact same music as a 24-year-old girl in the US, who I've never met. And you don't have that, but that would be really interesting to see which other researchers are reading the same type of papers, and then see if they read that, maybe I should also read the other papers.
That's definitely in the plans, although I think it's probably more going to be an opt-in model, because you know some people will be reluctant to to let other people know what they're currently reading. But if you want to opt in, of course it would make sense that we can tell you, hey, there's another person who has the same research interests as you do, why don't you two talk to each other? And in the same way, we're going to handle the recommendation system. So you introduce it as a recommendation engine, which it is going to be in the long run. But you know, for recommendations, you need data. And we just released the first version 3 weeks ago. So there are, I think, about 500 people on the website, which is not enough data to generate recommendations. Yeah.
People look at scientists, special bookmarking sites. There's a lot of reluctance to use them for this reason you alluded to. How do you prevent somebody from creating a dummy account to find out what competitors are reading without revealing anything about what they're reading?
Any statistics that you'll see on the website are not traceable to a unique person. So,
this neighbor's idea.
Oh, yeah, like I said, it's going to be opt-in. So, if.
And what I'm saying is, so you create a dummy account, you select a few sort of key papers that you think a specific set of your competitors are likely to have read already, and then you see what else they're reading. I'm just thinking about these ways of reducing it.
No, I agree with you. There's the potential to do that, but I think if you know, for me to be spied on in the sense that you describe, I would first have to opt in and agree that you know whatever is in my library will go into these neighbor calculations. So you know, in doing so, I expose myself to the risk that you describe, and I don't see any way that we can basically you know rule this out. Yeah.
I mean, you know my concerns about interoperability between these multiplying social network and social scientists and the need to push identity from one place to another, which is kind of what we touched on briefly with this idea of search for ID. Are you in a position to make the underlying data model personal accounts available across, I guess that plays into this question. So, for instance, I can actually have my profile on Copernicus, for argument's sake.
I mean, that's a tricky question, obviously. But it's not for reasons that I wouldn't want to say, you know, because of business model or etc. But because, plainly speaking, we haven't thought about the technical issues so much, and you know, in regards to how can we import the network from someone else, say, you know, through Open Social or Friend Connect or whatever. And in the same vein, how can we, you know, let other people tap into that? So what I think the most obvious idea that I got actually after attending your workshop in Southampton and seeing that many people are using, you know, wikis to organize their groups to sort of give you a piece of code which you can embed in your wiki, and then you have, like, your library in there. So that's one of the things that I thought about. And sorry, I didn't answer the business model question yet. I had forgotten about it until Cameron mentioned it. So everything that we offer now, and most likely everything that we develop in the next, I'd say, 6-7 months, is going to be free. From then on, we'll probably introduce some premium features. Say, if you want more detailed statistics about something, then you'll have to have, like, a subscription. Or another issue that was brought up today by Timo was targeted advertising. So these are potential business plans. But you know, it's very early in the process, so we just have to figure out what works. Yeah.
I hate to speak it, but someone at some point believes me to copyright infringement. I consider this very useful for broad market. This man said that you are copying, you are allowing for the copying of an article by me.
Yeah. I think it's important to point out that this is not a free-for-all peer-to-peer file-sharing service. In the first case, where you back up stuff to your private account on the web, I'd see it more like, you know, it's your personal hard drive somewhere else which you can access through a browser.
Your copy that's being uploaded into your account.
Yeah. And in the case of sharing, obviously, there's the problem. So what our terms of use state is that when you share papers with others, you have to make sure, basically, that you're allowed to do this. And that could involve, you know, it's either your own paper or your working papers, for open access papers or papers that were published in a Creative Commons license, or say, I guess that varies from publisher to publisher or database to database. If I have subscribed to a database and you have subscribed to a database and we share a paper that's from this database, is that legal or not? Or is that fair use or not? So I think we give you the opportunity to share, but ask you not to infringe copyright. And you know, it's a balance. I mean,
But I mean, Google does this with their cache, so Google's not going to jail.
Oh, you know, I work with CIA. So, you know, many fair use, and you can define it broadly.
Well, surely you're worried about the problems that afflicted music file sharing services and lawsuits.
Yep. So it's a good thing that we have, you know, one of the guys from Last.fm, who's now the executive chairman of Mendeley and who's on our board, and he's obviously, you know, gone through the same experience with music. And he said that when Last.fm started, there wasn't any music which you could listen to, actually. It was just metadata and metadata recommendations. And they started to negotiate with record labels later on, actually. And when they started, no one would have imagined that, you know, in just a few years' time, you could legally listen and choose, and you know, choose to stream songs from the Last.fm website. And you know, that was something that they negotiated with the rights holders after a while. So it's very much an evolving market.
So you're negotiating with Elsevier?
Not yet, no.
Our names are published in group.
Well, we've met Timo, so.
I know very well.
Yeah.
Because they have a patent.